you that receive him. Get together, let's pray. Your Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your time like this. Our hearts and our minds are open to your word. We receive your word today with gladness, with meekness of heart, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we receive clarity. I mean, we receive revelation knowledge from the written word today. Yes, in the name of Jesus Christ. In his atmosphere, there's clarity. In his atmosphere, there's precision to listen and hear your word. Error is far, far from our understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, giving and receiving. We started that last week, right? Should this one started last week? Giving and receiving. Okay. Giving and receiving. Where is giving and receiving? Okay. Matthew 28, verse 18 into 20. Some people now become too familiar. When I say Matthew 28, they'll be quoting it with you. Okay. Even me. Even if I'm still, I will still have it open and read. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Say, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Make disciples of all the nations. That is what we have in the Old King James. Go therefore and teach all nations. That's the word, teach all nations. Say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Amen. Hallelujah. So we started off by saying, when we hear the word teach, raise disciples, right? We say that word implies to raise apprentices, right? To raise, to train an apprentice. Hallelujah. And we say, indeed, without one is schooled to becoming a scholar. Is cool to becoming a scholar. So that means, remember, when you say this, you must always have in mind that in the background, of the study is the local church, is the gathering and knowledge, right? So therefore, we can say the church is, or the local assembly, the local church, is where this is done. So when Jesus said, go make disciples, at the background, he's talking about a gathering. So it is in that gathering that you will raise men. You will raise men from the gathering. Are you following me? You raise men to becoming scholars. You cannot, I said something last week that I want to actually reiterate. You cannot be effectively discipled outside the local church. And it's very important because it's that God's pattern, the local church in all the earth. Right? In all the earth, the local church. So there is no effective discipleship outside the local church. There's no effective discipleship outside the local church. So, that said, Jesus also now tells us how this discipleship will be taught. Now, very important, Jesus gives us a task, tells us where it will be done, and how it will be done. Right? That's what we're saying. Then we also see that it also gives us what is the content of how it will be done. So it gives us everything. It didn't tell you go and use your own tents. Go and use disciples in your own tents. You would have had different, how should I put it, different ideologies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it tells us how this will be done. He says teaching them. And we looked at that word didasco, which we say carries the import of the word didache. It carries the import of the word didache. In fact, the root word of didasco is the word didache. So that means when Jesus says teaching them, that word teaching them also carries that weight of how what they should be taught should be taught. Do you understand? So it carries that import. When you hear the didasco in the background is didache. When you hear the didasco in the background, you have the didache, the how. So if you just say teaching them, that means without you following the procedure or following how it should be done, it will not be different from what the Pharisees do and call teaching. The Bible says they are teachers of the law. I hope you know that. So when you say teaching them, and if it doesn't carry the import of his didache, it will be as if you're telling them to teach anyhow, just like the Pharisees would do. Are you following that? Hallelujah. So the didache is important. They are it's in the didasco. And you say that is how scriptures have to be explained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that implies that in discipleship, part of the things we learn is how scriptures are explained. Hallelujah. So a core aspect of discipleship is knowing how scriptures are explained. So from Matthew 7, where we saw last week, we're looking at it again. Matthew 7:28. Look at what Jesus said. I mean, look at what they said concerning what Jesus had taught them, or what Matthew recorded. He said, when they had Matthew 7:28. Are you there? Now, at the end of his teaching from chapter 5. And it was so that when Jesus had ended his saying, that the people were astonished at his didache. They were astonished at his didache. Why? For he thought as one having authority, not as the scribes. Hallelujah. So he thought differently from how the scribes were explaining scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. And we saw, so he talked differently. He said he taught as one having authority. Now we said the didache from last week, we said the didache of Christ will be one that scriptures concludes on him, on Christ, or concludes in Christ. Scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, concludes in him. Hallelujah. And that is what it means. That is what Matthew means. And Mark, when they say, as one having authority. When he uses that one having authority, as one whom the scripture spoke of. Hallelujah. John 5:39. You search the scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life. Say, these are they. When you say scriptures, it's not talking about a specific group, but everything together. Hallelujah. You search the scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life. They say, but these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me. Hallelujah. If you had believed Moses, but he says, you would have believed me, for he wrote concerning me. Say, if you do not believe his words, how then will you believe mine? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, and from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. You have known the Holy Scripture, Euros grammar. It says, which are able to make thee wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It tells him what scripture is for. See, from childhood, breakfast, you have known the Holy Scripture. Now, that word Holy Scripture, scripture there is the word grapho. That is the word grapho. They say, you have known the Holy Scriptures, graphi, or grapho. They say, which are able. Now, when you use the word grapho, it implies Genesis through. Now, when he uses, I'm taking back what I said. Verse 2, when he said you've known the Holy Spirit, not Euros grapho, sorry. I think rather it's Euro grammar. It talks about the context. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says all, now when you use the word grammar. Grammar is used for the content of a writing. Hallelujah. The content of the writing. Then it says all scriptures. Now that word all scriptures is now in the past graphy. All scriptures. Is given by the inspiration of God. That is verse 16. But verse 16 says, you've known the Holy Scriptures, the content, which he was making reference to, the content that has salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Right? It says, given by the inspiration of God. What am I saying? I mean, say they are able to make thee wise, rather. Hallelujah. They're able to make thee wise. Hallelujah. Able to make the wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So it tells you that, hey, scripture, well read together, what you would have will be salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, centered on the same person of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Hallelujah. So the duty of scriptures will be that it concludes on Christ. Now we saw that last week, right? Right? Okay, we also said that it's the didache of scripture would mean to read everything from Genesis. We saw that too. The didache means to read everything from Genesis. From the Genesis. Hallelujah. We saw how Jesus will rebuke the Pharisees in Matthew 22 and Matthew 9. He said, have you not read? And he will take them back to the Genesis. Have you not read? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we'll get to see that shortly again. It will come out again for us today. Now, from last week, we saw that the didache of scripture is to be restricted to the boundaries of the explanations in the epistles. Did we say that? Right? We said that yesterday. I mean last week. The didache will be, we are restricted to the boundaries. We said that last week, right? Restricted to the boundaries of the explanation we have in the epistles. Why? It's because the epistles becomes for us today the explanation of Genesis to Malachi. Who said that? Hallelujah. That's why it's important to go through your notes before every meeting. Hallelujah. So the last time, we saw that the words of Jesus in the four Gospels and the epistles are explanation of the scriptures. And our duty is to be restricted in our explanation through the explanation of the epistles. That's our duty. To be restricted to that explanation. Not to try to have our own personal revelation. I've heard people say, this is my personal revelation in the body of Christ. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, most of the... let me not say that for today. Let me just leave it for some other time. Hallelujah. You know... let me just give you a little piece of it. I've met in recent time young ones like myself. I'm not old. Young ones like us who will come and tell me they see a revival. Is it that we know that there's a revival in our days? Hallelujah. But when they'll tell you they see a revival, and what they are trying to push out to you is their revelation. So these days, you know, these are the days of a greater dimension of God's glory. In days where, you know, we'll begin to, someone has told me that you begin to have a higher revelation of the things of God beyond what the apostles have. You know, things like that. No. Hallelujah. And that to them is revelation. No, you've got to be restricted to what we receive. And this is why Paul will warn in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3. We saw it last week. We're going to look at it again. 1 Corinthians 3. We are teaching on giving and receiving. Interesting, right? 1 Corinthians 3. It's part of giving and receiving. Like I say, you see the import of all these things as we go ahead. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3.
Verse 10. Paul is addressing, let's see what Paul is addressing. I'll start from verse 3. I'll take some verses so you have to follow me. Verse 3. Are you not sick, Anna? For their envy, strife, divisions amongst you. Are you not carnal and behaving like men? For when one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Did you see that? Paul is my father. Stuff like that. Paul is my father in the Lord. Paul is my dear. It's Apollos. It's Apollos. This is not all those divisions. Hallelujah. Look at what Paul began to address that. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers together, whom you believe as the Lord gave to each one. He said, I have planted Apollos water, but it's God who gives the increase. Hallelujah. It shows you, now he begins to talk about their role together in ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, verse 7, neither is he who plants anything, but it's the Lord who gives the increase. Verses 8, then in verses 10, listen to this. He gets to verse 10, and he says, in verses 6, 5, 6, you see that, we are workers together, we are these. I plant, Apollos water, the Lord gives the increase. We are nothing but God who gives the increase. But then in verse 10, he now differentiated his role from that of Apollos. You remember, Paul could be termed one of the foundational apostles. I heard that word first from Ken Hagin, foundational apostles. Hallelujah. Those who laid the foundation of the doctrines of Christ for us today. Hallelujah. Now, he now quickly draws that mark. Hallelujah. Draws that mark. That you see. See, we are together in ministry. But see, as a foundational apostle, this is the role of the foundational apostle. Are you following that? So he draws that mark. Look at what he says in verse 10. Verse 10. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given me as a wise master builder, architecton in the Greek. Say, I have laid the foundation. Did you see? He didn't say we have laid the foundation. No, he says, I have. Hallelujah. Who is he making a distinction with? It's not with the other apostles. No, he's making that distinction between himself and who? Apollos. Hallelujah. He says, I have laid the foundation. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Say, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one, now, he has expanded that narrative not to be only on Apollos again. Let each one take heed how he builds it. Now, let's take note of some words. He says, we are still reading down to verse 13. Okay, let's read to verse 13, verse 12. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Are you seeing that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's see some things. He uses the word in verses 10. He says, I have laid the foundation. Now, that word foundation in the Greek is the word that implies temelios, or is in the Greek temelios. Temelios. C E M E L I O U S. Temelios in the Greek. You find the word in Luke 6, 48 into 49. The same word, Luke 6, 48 into 49. It says, he is like a, that's what verse 47 says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. Did you see? He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. First of all, foundation here is used for what? Doctrine. Did you see that? It's related to doctrine. I need you to follow me carefully. Who hears my saying and keep them, say he's one who builds, is what? One who builds his house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who builds his house on the earth without a foundation. Did you see that? Without a foundation. Against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Are you following me? So, foundation is used for doctrine. Right? Right? It's used for that which is laid and stands. That which is laid and stands forever. Look at chapter 14 of that same Luke, verse 29. Half of verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Least after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish. All who sees it begins to mock him. Hallelujah. That which is laid and stands. So, you also find that word in Acts 16:26, Romans 15:20, 1 Corinthians 3:11, where we just read, 1 Timothy 6:19, 2 Timothy 2:19, 1 Timothy 6:19, 2 Timothy 2:19, Hebrews 6:1, Hebrews 11:10, Revelations 21:14. Hallelujah. So, very important. Let's go back to our 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3. Look at what he says in verse 2. He says, now, if anyone builds on this foundation. Now, this foundation, will that be the doctrine of Christ? Yes. Hallelujah. Are you following me? If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, straw, say each one's work will become clearer, for the day will declare it, because it is revealed by fire. I'll go to verse 10 for you to see something. It says, verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God, which has given me a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Say, let each one take heed how he builds. So quickly, Paul differentiated his role. And say this role is to lay the foundation. Hallelujah. So, and shows you what your role is, what our role is today. Because we are not foundational apostles. Hallelujah. Sir, can we have another set of foundational apostles? And oh no. Hallelujah. Are you following me? They are the foundational apostles. And they've laid it. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So there's nobody called foundational apostles today. Glory to God. Amen. But let's see what Paul said. He says, our role is to build upon that foundation they have laid, or he has laid. Hallelujah. So, and remember we said in context, the word foundation here is used in reference to what the doctrine of Christ, from the scriptures he has taught. Hallelujah. The doctrine of Christ from the scripture he has taught them. In Ephesians 2:20, let's see something there. In Ephesians 2:20, he says something. He says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, he says, having been built upon the word foundation of the apostles and prophets. Hallelujah. It says we are built upon the foundation. That is, when it talks about foundation, what do you have in context? The doctrine of Christ from the scriptures. Hallelujah. So it says we are built upon that foundation of the doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah. Of the prophet and, of the apostles and prophets. When you see the word apostles and prophets, they are not two different people. Apostles who are the prophets. Hallelujah. Mouthpiece. Apostles who are God's servants. Who were them? Who are mouthpiece. God's mouthpiece. Hallelujah. So I'm talking about two different set of people, but you know, the foundational apostles are the ones called apostles and prophets. Hallelujah. Just so as to differentiate them. Hallelujah, in the book of Acts and some other scriptures. It's just a special role just to differentiate them. Just like saying the apostles who are God's mouthpiece in that day. So those are the foundational apostles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look at verse 21. It says, we have been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, it says, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So, verse 21 to 22 speaks about spiritual growth. Spiritual growth when you dwell well in the word foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Are you following that? I just wanted you to see that. Now, that flows into chapter 3 for us. You know, it was not written in chapters and verses. So let us read into chapter 3 into verse 5. Let's see how soon you will see the flow. It says, build together, 22, a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. For this reason, did you see that? Say, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. That word dispensation is the word stewardship. Hallelujah. It says, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I've written already. Are you following the flow? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Which I've written already. We're in verses 4. By which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mysterion of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to these holy apostles and prophets. It brings back that word again. He has said you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. He says, revealed to the apostles and prophets. The same set of people, they are the ones that laid the foundation that we are built upon. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Glory to God. So, it's the same thing, the foundational apostles. Hallelujah. And quickly, Paul was quick to point out our role again in verse 4. He says, you read. Hallelujah. Our role is to read. They have laid the foundation. Say, but when you read, you will understand my mystery. You understand my revelation in the mystery of Christ. So it's still the same flow. Hallelujah. When you read, I've laid the foundation, let another build. We're going to look at that word build maybe subsequently. Hallelujah. I cannot be.
So the building is not to start from the foundation.
The foundation has been laid. So what do? You build on the foundation. That becomes the structure. That is our role is to explain.
Are you following me? Hallelujah. So there is already a boundary for us. There's already a boundary for us. You don't build out of the foundation. You build in line with the foundation. Amen. Amen. Remember, look at what it says in verse 5. In chapter 3, verse 5. But has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. So, in this point, he now expands his narrative. From verse 3. Verse 3, by which by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already. Verse 5 now says, holy apostles and prophets. So that narrative of him has been expounded. Expounded in the sense that he now moves from him toward all the foundational apostles. Hallelujah. Not just him alone. Glory to God. Meaning, whatever thing he's writing, you will find it in the words of Peter. Hallelujah. Though his will be more elaborated because we know the reason for that. He's well schooled. Hallelujah. He's vast in knowledge. But he will be much more elaborated, but you will find the same thing Paul will say in Peter's writing. You find it in John's writing. Are you following me? Amen. You'll find it there. Glory to God. So they didn't have what someone said years back, trying to defend Peter as against Paul. They were saying Paul went too extreme. Paul was this, no. Peter said this. You're just saying nonsense. But when you look at it together, you see that everything Paul is saying, Peter also said them. Are you hearing me? Paul didn't see anything different from what Peter said. Hallelujah. They say, no, because, you know, Paul was talking about tongues, speaking in tongues. It's fine. No, read Peter well. Hallelujah. Peter spoke about tongues also. Amen. He spoke about it. But you were reading well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sir, spiritual, pneumatic, was only Paul. Who told you that? Read Peter. You see there. Read John. You see there. So they said the same thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, very important. So, Paul expands that narrative for you to see that, okay, we are the foundational apostles. Hallelujah. We are the foundational apostles, the apostles and prophets. Glory to God. And what is our role? To lay the foundation. I would say that foundation will be what? The doctrine of Christ. Right? It's been laid. And our role is to do what? Build thereon. Right? The role of the preacher or the pastor today is to build thereon. Not to start laying his own foundation. Are you hearing me? Not to start to lay his own foundation. Because we're going to get to see some things at the end of the meeting today. Towards the end, you see some vital truth. Hallelujah. Not to lay another foundation. Not to try and expand on that foundation. No. You try to go beyond or go beyond the boundaries of that foundation that has been laid. The house will eventually crumble. Not eventually, the house will crumble. Hallelujah. Because it will not stand the test of time. Amen. Amen. So in my study, I must see the boundaries in the epistles. So he uses a word whereby when you read, you read. That's the word anagenosko. I started looking at this on Sunday. So we'll just take it up from where we stopped on Sunday. Anagenosko. It implies to read again. To read again. To go over it well. Jesus will use similar words for the Pharisees, which we saw.
in Matthew 12. Let's see Matthew 12 again. He says, have you not read? In verse 3, Jesus said to them, have you not read? Matthew 19:4. And he answered and said to them, have you not read? He who made them in the beginning, he took them back to Genesis. Hallelujah. Matthew 22. Verse 29. He said, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry or are given to in marriage, but are the angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read? Anna Ginosko. Have you not read where? So Jesus used it to correct how they read. How they read scriptures. He said, have you not read? He uses it to correct them. Have you not read? Hallelujah. He corrects them and says, you miss out the vital details in your study. That's what Jesus is telling them. You missed out the vital details. So he says, have you not read? Didn't you see it? Didn't you observe this in your study? Because you are supposed to study from the Genesis. Right? Was that what we said? That will be the didactic of scripture, to read from the Genesis. And reading from the Genesis, you must understand the reason for the Genesis is the Exodus. The reason for the Exodus is Genesis. Are you following me? So you must understand the background. So before I get to Psalms, what will be the background of Psalms? The background of Psalms will be the five books of Moses. Are you following me? I will see that clearly. Amen. Amen. Before I get to Deuteronomy, when I'm in Deuteronomy, I must know that the background for the Deuteronomy, it will be what? Numbers. Right? And in the Numbers, I must have in my head that there is an Exodus and a Genesis to teach in the Exodus. Are you following that? So I must understand this background. I must understand the flow. That the reason why Moses will permit to because in the Deuteronomy will be because of the numbers. So why would there be an unbelief in the numbers? There was an Exodus that has a message in the Genesis. Are you following me? Glory to God. When I jump, that means I will not jump down to the Isaiah. No. No. I must understand that Isaiah also have a background. Has a background. And what will be the background of Isaiah? The background of Isaiah will be five books of Moses. So this is why. By this time next month, we will start our study from Genesis. As in our daily reading from Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our daily reading from Genesis. So take that, Pastor Wisdom. Start from Genesis. Daily study. Hallelujah. From Genesis down to Malachi, all through the year. We've done Matthew, right? So start from Genesis. All through the year. By reading together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. So Jesus will use that word to correct. Now they are. How they read scriptures that they did not pay attention. They didn't read from the beginning. They didn't understand the background and the use of figures. Are you following me? So I will now see that if I get to Numbers, I will see a lot of figures. I will see the serpent. I will see a lot of figures being used. I must understand the fact that it is because of unbelief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because in every of those books, you find the message of Christ being spoken of. Hallelujah. Even in their unbelief, in the 40 years, they still had the witness of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? They still had that witness of God's Spirit. The gospel was still ministered to them. So their unbelief was not a one time for all time unbelief. No, it was a consistent unbelief. Are you following me? It was not a one for all time. I don't believe. So like, no. It was consistent.
Hallelujah. It was a consistent unbelief. Glory to God. And that is why in Deuteronomy, Moses will now call the Israelites stiff-necked people. Hallelujah. Are you following me? You are a stiff-necked people. I know you will. See what's that? Because it was consistent. Unbelief consistent for 40 years. Interesting, right? Glory to God. Glory to God. Imagine you were told to follow up such set of people that will wear you down. Some people just to follow up someone and you went to his place once, you didn't see him. Second time, he's giving you stone, just lost it. Is it because do you know who I am? Who are you? You're not even happy that I'm coming to follow you up. Some people just lose it.
No.
40 years. 40 years. And Moses was still with them. Hallelujah. He stood with them. It's interesting, right? Amen. Amen. And Moses kept talking to them about who? God's word. This is what God will do. Kept talking to them about God. So why would you now give up on just one soul? These people are more than one, no, they are not 3,000. Over 3 million people. Over 3 million people. But at a point, I guess that should be numbers 21 or 11.
I'm missing that. Either 21, 11, or 11, 21.
They all together murmured. 3 million people. They murmured. Many 3 million people just murmuring. Unity. NSAS protesters at Lekki toll gate are not up to 3 million. As in 3 million people. Murmured. You just go and hang yourself. So just one person is there. Don't be tired. No. Don't be tired. Amen. Amen. So therefore, Anna Genius School with me. I will read well. I will pay attention to details. Because Jesus will point them back to how they study and miss out details. So it means they didn't read well. So that means Anna Genius School will mean I will pay attention to details. I will understand context. And read everything well. So reading well, I will not glance through. I will be patient with how I'm reading it. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Paul too will use that word anagenosko in Colossians 4:16. Look at Colossians 4:16. It says, now when this epistle is read among you, see that is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and you likewise read the epistles of the Laodiceans. Did you see that? That's the word read. He uses it three times. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 27, he uses that word. I charge you by the Lord that these epistles be read to all the holy brethren. Read. Hallelujah. So Paul uses it for how the epistles should be read. How the epistle should be read. Yeah, it implies wholesome reading. Wholesome reading. And this will say, you know, when Paul writes like that, when that epistle is being read openly, now, that epistle is to be read openly, right? If you don't read openly, what would they have with them? They will have the Old Testament books, what we call Old Testament book, Genesis to Malachi, with them. Are you following me? They will have Genesis to Malachi with them while that books are read. So that means when you say read to all, now what that means is a wholesome reading, whereby you read from the epistles. I'm about to say something now into what you have. So because that epistle, what you have being read, are explanations of the books of the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So it's a wholesome reading. So you are reading from the epistles into Genesis, into Malachi.
So what that implies is that I can read into Genesis to Malachi from their pieces, which are the explanation. I will read it into. I'll read Genesis, or I'll read their pieces into Genesis, into Malachi, something like that. Just read it like that. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. The epistles and the four gospels are 26 books, right? 26 books. Yes, 26 books. Genesis to Malachi is 39. Don't think you know what I want to say. Just calm down. Hallelujah. Now, why am I trying to tell you? I'm going to let you see that. See. Though Genesis to Malachi is more, but as I read Genesis to Malachi with the explanation of the epistles, what am I doing? I'm reading, or let me open that. As I read Genesis to Malachi, you know it's expanded, it's more than it. While I'm reading it, I'm reading that explanation into it, because that is the explanation. Hallelujah. Are you following me? I'm reading it into it. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that means Bible study calls for diligence. Calls for diligence. That's what it means. You have to be diligent. You have to take your time and read well. Bible study calls for diligence. Diligence, Father. It's not bedtime story. Bible study is not bedtime story. Or tea time inspiration. Bible study is not at night about a sleep study. No. It calls for a devoted time. Diligence means I will make out space. I will make out time to study well. And this is why in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, Paul urged Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. Paul urged Timothy, said, be diligent to present yourself approved by God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. So Paul urged Timothy to be diligent in presenting Bible truth in such a way that it will be impossible to be faulted. That is the word. So be diligent to present yourself. Hallelujah. So to show thyself approved by God, a worker who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. So how will he present for the, he says, rightly dividing the words of truth. We've seen that word, that is what ototomio, which means a straight course. To be careful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To be careful. So the question will be, how will he present Genesis to Malachi? Remember that is scripture. It says, study to show thyself approved by God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. Study to show thyself approved to God by God. A worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. It says, rightly dividing the words of truth. So how will he present Genesis to Malachi? How will he do that? Look at verse 2. Quickly. Look at verse 2. He says, remember that Jesus Christ. Verses 2. That's in scripture. It says, the things which you heard from me amongst many brethren, many witnesses, say, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Who will be able to teach others also. I want you to see this. So Paul already shows us how how he's dividing the words of truth will imply to follow Paul's mode of explanation. Did you see that? So when he says rightly dividing the words of truth will mean what Paul's explanation in verse 2. The things you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Are you following that? So when when Paul says rightly, study to show yourself approved, a worker who needs not to be ashamed, right? Okay, I mean that. A worker who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. So, his presenting those truths will be to present it the way Paul has explained it. Are you following me? That will be how he will present it. That will be his ototomio. Or scripture. Are you following me? That will be his own autotomio. How scripture should be explained or will be carefully caught. Would that be, so that means Timothy will be restricted to the boundaries of who? Of Paul. Are you following me? Eh? You must understand boundaries. Glory to God. Look at chapter 3. Which in chapter 3 verse 10, it says, you have carefully followed my doctrine. Doctrine here is the word mode of explanation. He says, you have carefully followed my doctrine. Mode of explaining scriptures. And in verse 15, where we just read, it says, from childhood you have known the holy scriptures. Are you seeing how Paul uses the word? So it means, when you say you have known the holy scripture, will it be Paul's explanation of Genesis to Malachi? That will be it. Are you following me? That will be it. So Timothy became skillful at it. Are you following that? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So he will commend this knowledge of scriptures, which will imply knowing the scriptures explained in the didache of Paul. So Timothy will know the scriptures explained in the didache of Paul. Glory to God. Glory to God. So what this implies is that to explain scriptures contrary to the boundaries of the epistles is the beginning of false doctrine. That's what it means. It's the beginning of false doctrine. We've just seen how Paul will commend Timothy and tell him to rightly divide the words of truth. And what will he be dividing? Paul's didache. Hallelujah. You've known the holy scriptures. What is it? Paul's didache of the scriptures. Paul's mode of explaining scriptures. So he's not saying Timothy has a new revelation. No. Just saying Timothy has continued steadfastly in what I've taught. And we'll see that immediately. What he now says concerning some other people. Glory to God. Just immediately after that, 2 Timothy 2, verses 15 to 16. He calls the name of two guys that they are straight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means to explain scripture outside the didache of the, I want to expound that, the didache of the apostles. The didache of the apostles is false doctrine. In fact, that was what they called, that was what was tagged false doctrine. Any teaching contrary to what they have taught. I hear any teaching contrary to this mode of explaining scriptures is called false doctrine. Then you will now see why the Pharisees were angry with them. Why they will flog them. Why they will say, you fill Jerusalem with what? With your doctrine. Hallelujah. Are you following? That is Acts 5. Why they can say that? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Look at Galatians 1. Am I a bit fast? Galatians 1. Okay. Look at verses 3. It says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God and Father. I want you to see something here as we continue down these verses. Now, look at, okay, let's just go to verses. Say, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Jesus, I mean, in the grace of Christ, to a different gospel. Look now, he calls different gospel. Now, look at what he calls different gospel. So, which is not another, that is the word heteros, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. For even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which you have been preached to you, let him be what? course. He says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preach any other gospel to you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. I want you to take note of some things, but before we look at that, look at what he says. Now, Paul calls this. He said, to preach any other thing aside it, he calls false doctrine, preaching any other thing aside the teaching of the apostles. And as we get into that book of Galatians, the book of Galatians first is Paul's first writing. It's Paul's first writing, one of Paul's first writing, and it was written in defense to the gospel. If I let me put it like this, it was written in defense to the gospel he taught them. Do you understand? Not defense to the gospel he taught elsewhere, he taught them. And in verse 3, we now saw what Paul taught them. Verse 3, he says, who gave himself for our sins. Hallelujah. He gave himself for our sins. So this now becomes the theme of what they have come to know in the teachings of Paul. Becomes the theme of what they've come to know in the teaching of Paul, which is what God's graciousness in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So all through, if you read the whole book of Galatians, you will see that what Paul was in defense of was concerning God's graciousness in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? So he makes you see it in verse 3. That becomes the thing. His graciousness in Christ. God's graciousness in Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following me? God's graciousness in Christ. So verses 6 into 7, he uses the word teroso. But before we look at that, he says it is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. So to preach anything aside this, which is what God's graciousness, Paul will qualify it, or Paul will call it that is trouble and perversion. To preach anything aside God's graciousness in Christ Jesus is to trouble the believers, to trouble them, we get to see that, to trouble and to pervert. That word trouble is the word toroso. Toroso. To add burden. That's what it means. To add burden. To be like a burden. Hallelujah. Now, the other word is pervert. That word toroso, you find it in the same writing in Galatians 5, verse 10. To trouble. Look at another word he uses. It's the word pervert. To pervert the gospel of Christ. Pervert. Now, that is the word masterstrafo. 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 M-A-S-T-A-S-T-R-A-P-H-O. M-A-S-T-A-S-T-R-A-P-H-O. It implies to distort. Take note of it. To pervert. It implies to distort. To change form. An original. To change from an original form. To change from an original form. To what is false. To what is false. Or from good to bad. Right to wrong. It's used three times in New Testament Greek. It's used to distort, to change from an original form to what is false or fake. False or fake. From good to bad. Right to wrong. In Acts 2:20, you find it there. Hallelujah. You find it also in James 4:8-9.
He calls to preach any other teaching. Any other teaching. Aside that which he has taught them. To act, he calls it torosu, to trouble the believers, to pervert the gospel. That is false doctrine. Hallelujah. False doctrine. So, false doctrine is to pervert, is to trouble. Hallelujah. To trouble, to pervert. Another example of perversion or boundarylessness, because all these are a function of boundarylessness. Hallelujah. Boundarylessness. When you understand the boundaries and know these are the foundational forces, you just stick to what they've taught you. Hallelujah. Remember last week we saw that Jesus handed, if I will stop that all through from last year to this year, that Jesus handed over his life and his ministry to who? The apostles. We saw that the apostles, their teaching will be the teaching note of Jesus. I hope you know that. So they will talk what Jesus has taught. That's why Paul can say, the things you learn from me, commit. Because that is what they were doing. They were committing it the way they've learned it. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So another example will be 2 Timothy 2:16, where we want to look at Hermanus and Philetus. 2 Timothy. You know, I will leave some details for when we will get to study about the Antichrist. The Antichrist. So I will leave some other details for that time. But let's look at something else. Look at verse 16. It says, but Sean, you know, when it says rightly dividing the words of truth, say, but shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more and more ungodliness, and their message will spread like canker. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. He says, why? Why did he say they have strayed? Did he say that? They have strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past. They have overthrown the faith of some. He says they are strayed. Now, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands, which is the doctrine of God is not shaken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But he says this. He says they have strayed. Hallelujah. So they went off the boundaries. That's what he's trying to tell you. They went off the boundaries. How? Which boundary? They went off the boundaries of the apostles. To say the resurrection is past. We have some other people who say there is no resurrection in 1 Corinthians. Right? Right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said there's no resurrection. And Paul said, if there's no resurrection of the dead, he said, that means Christ is not arisen. Did you see that? So now, this also then tells you that what, how Paul uses the word to arise in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 was not in the past. If not, he would have reckoned with Philetus and him. Hallelujah. It shows is a continuous, is the believer's everyday reality one. It is not an event. Are you following me? It's not an event. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It says that they went off to say the reservation is past. They went off boundaries. You see, I don't have this in my note, but let me just say it. You know, trying to act, you see, false doctrine is an addition. Hallelujah. False doctrine is not, I want to use the word, it's like an addition, but it is addition. You have a boundary, and you just want to sound unique, and you just add it. Hallelujah, it's an addition. Glory to God. You say, you know. Amen. You just want to say, you know, glory to God. We are not born of his death. We are born. No, let me do something else. Okay, something like this. You say, we are in the, just like I just finished teaching to you now. You just say, we are, resurrection is not past. this is the everyday reality of the believer. And then I said, Rema. And now moves. That is why you should be careful of people who shout Rema when you teach. Rema. Ah! Because they are catching something else that you have not said. The antenna have gone beyond you. Hallelujah. Now, and I said, So, now, the person can just say it where you are, but he wants to now sound unique to his own audience. Now, say, you know, we are in the daisy, we are living in the reality of the resurrection. The cross is gone. The believer doesn't know the cross. You don't have a business there. We are in the resurrection. You know, that is an addition. Though it looks subtle, we're going to see something related to that. It looks subtle, but it's an addition. Are you following me? It looks subtle, but it's like an addition. You just add it. The person that taught you didn't say that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Romans 1:41. We don't look to the cross, we look to the throne.
Do we really look to the cross?
Don't worry, we're great. Hallelujah, we'll get it. Amen. Amen. So, you know, just an addition. Boundarylessness. Just throw in one funny addition. And sometimes, you know, on the surface, look as if you are in quotes. Ah, this is a faith preacher. Or this is a grace teacher. Something like that. Eh? But you yourself know, you've known the kind of concussion you've added. See, I learned this, I heard this from Pastor Shergan, it's true. Concussion. No, let me know concussion. Poison is never served alone. Poison is never served alone. It's never served alone. If I bring rat medicine, I tell you, man of God, this is rat medicine, it's you. With your faith like bigger than a mustard seed. Your faith like it was based, you will not eat. Right? Because you know, ah, this is poison. This is rat medicine. This is otapia, pia. Right? But I now prepare your delicious meal, mala, ewedu, and degu. Now put brokoto and shaki, round about it. Now carry. In putting everything, I added rat medicine like crawfish. Will you eat? Because it's your meal and you don't know. Are you following me? So poison is never served alone. Are you following me? It's never served alone. Sometimes it's in an interesting or a what seems like a faith teaching. You just be dropped. Boom! And you don't know, you just take everything together. Hallelujah. And the poison will now be the loudest in your ears. Glory to God. Amen. And then you will stay with what you have been taught. Glory to God. That's why you must stay in your local church. Very important. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So they say the resurrection is past. That was what they were teaching. And it was spreading. Just spread it. You know, this is a summary of all what they said, what they thought. You know, Paul will not be teaching their message, but they said. So that would be the conclusion of what they thought. Hallelujah. They might even have the same, you know, message like Timothy would teach, but that would not be the addition. The resurrection is past. They say they have overthrown the faith of men. Very important, you see that. So, Paul will qualify what they thought as what? Look at what he qualifies it with. Verse 17. He says, and their message, he calls it their message. Are you following me? Their message, not the message of Christ. Their message. He also qualified it with the fact that their message, that is verse 17. And he also said they have gone astray. They have strayed, rather. Qualify what they don't that they have strayed. That is the word astocheo.
astotio is a compound word of alpha, which is negative, and stochiso. Stochiso. Or stochio. Which is to aim, or an aim. An aim. So alpha stochio, which means to miss a mark. To miss a mark. To swerve. To swerve. There's an aim and you swerve. Hallelujah. To swerve. To miss it. Hallelujah. Say they have strayed. They've missed it. He will use the same word in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 21. He says, by professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Some have strayed, have swerved. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So what did he say some are straying from? If you read verse 20, you see idle babblings, which is what was he warned him on as he got into the ministry. Hallelujah. So that means falsehood emerged from addition. I'm saying it again. It emerged from addition. And that addition is a slant of what? Boundarylessness. If you understand boundaries, you will not have additions. Hallelujah. I once told a younger believer, now in age, that see, you must have boundaries to your study. So I was studying into books and studying. I don't think he has studied his Bible that way. He has not. I was studying into New World Order. You know those study on New World Order, Illuminati, and I was going really deep. And I told him, see, is this the study you are doing? I have done it. How many of you remember? This is the study. I've done it when? I said, you were like, so why did you leave it? I'm like, see, anything you want to see, you can see. But you know what? Have a boundary to your study. Because you can study those things and begin to tilt towards atheism. I know what I'm saying. So. Hallelujah. So are you trying to say it doesn't exist? See, even if it exists, because it does, something that exists much more, that is more real than it. Hallelujah. That is the message of Christ. That is the power of the gospel. That is the Holy Ghost. So why would I spend my strength, my ass, reading about New World Order, Illuminati, who has joined the cult, who has not joined, how they have a place in Florida. Who gives? Who does that help? Who here? Hallelujah. Who here? This one has joined, this one has come, this one has joined, this one has come, Alisha Keys, Alisha M, Alisha I, Alisha House. Who cares? That is when they determine the world situation. Yes, they determine the world situation, fine. But they don't determine the gospel. Amen. The gospel is in my lips all the time. Go away to God. Go away to God. Amen. Amen. So do mind what you are, what are you studying there for? Why are you doing that? You guys taking it, you took coronavirus so personal. Wanted to prove a that there's a conspiracy, that there's no coronavirus, that some people sat and said, oh, God, come. I will take you to Onikko Center. People are dying. People are dying. I was then about a guy that came around to our office. He cannot talk. You can't talk to him without a mask. He will give you a mask. He said, oh, coronavirus killed his mother in his eyes. So it doesn't exist. No, people just get, what I can prove. Most times, see, some kind of study, you know what it does? Now I'm not saying you shouldn't get to know little about some things. You should get to know little about things happening in your world. Hallelujah.
But you know, don't now, in your study of other materials, make sure you have boundaries. Are you hearing me? Because that period, when I was reading those things, I have a friend too that we're doing it together. You know where I now took a halt? When I started calling some pastors, that way, I said, ah, this way it's going to. Suddenly I just said, ah, let me just step back. Because I was, though I don't know anything about having boundaries to my study then, but I just knew that I can't say anything wrong about these pastors. Because one way or the other, I've learned some of the things I was preaching from them. I can't say it. Hallelujah. So I just had to withdraw from all those nonsense. That is just nonsense. When my mind is now no longer on the gospel but on science, and I'm checking out signs on the back of a book, do you see Illuminati sign? You are mad. Something's already wrong with your brain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you must have boundaries to your study. Even now, it goes beyond. When I mean it goes beyond your study of scriptures now also into other secular materials you read. Even to the movies you watch, you must set boundaries. I follow you. You must set boundaries. Hallelujah. Set boundaries. This way I must not cross. Especially books that are now conflict with the knowledge of Christ. You must set such boundaries. There are some books you can't give me to read that I will read. In fact, there are some books you give me to read that I cannot read. I won't even read it. I won't even collect it. Once I go through the table of contents, it's out of my mind. I'll give it back to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just set boundaries. That is an addition to what I wanted to say. But not false. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So false doctrine emerged from addition. Boundarylessness, Islam to boundarylessness. Look in Acts 15. Just pay attention to Acts 15 again. Let's pay attention to Acts 15. Look at verse 1. Then certain men came from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Imagine you are born again. Holy Ghost speaks, tongue talking, lay hands on the sick recovers. And somebody now comes to tell you, except you are circumcised according to the custom. Now, when they call custom of Moses, where does that take you to? It takes you to the Deuteronomy. Background will be where? Unbelief. Are you following me? According to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Is that doctrine? That is doctrine. Dog. Can you? Do you understand? Is that doctrine? That is another gospel. Pure heteros euangelion. Pure another gospel. Are you following me? But quickly, thank God for Paul and Barnabas. They have no small dissension and dispute with them. And they can mean that Paul and Barnabas and certain of them should go to Jerusalem, that the apostles and elders, and ask the apostles and elders this question. Now, verses 4. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God has done with them. Now look at verse 5. Now, verses 1 into 2 was clear addition. It was clear, in fact, it was clear false. Hallelujah. Imagine you are born again, tongue and now say, let me use one that some people say, a friend of mine that I knew bought into that nonsense, and it's painful. Imagine after you say, if you are not baptized with water, person is teaching it well. We'll get to see that in Romans 16 with vigor. And your pastor, when he was teaching, his hand was on the louvers like that, and say, you know, you're born of the Spirit. That's what he's shouting. You're not baptized with water. Now some of them will not disguise and say,
I went, the Lord showed me hellfire. You know, that is how you get to some Nigerian people. Just persuasiveness. So I went to hellfire. Lord took me to hellfire. And he told me if I don't get baptized with water, I will be like, so I saw pastors and plenty people. Some of them were even singing in tongues and shouting in tongues, but there was no hell because they were not baptized with water. Their salvation was not complete. They are not well. I hear all the tongues you'll be speaking. Now we're not swept under the carpet. Now say, I want to be baptized with water. False. Amen. Amen. False. Because it's not in line with what the teaching from Genesis to Revelation. Are you following me? Just like that. You know, something like that for you is easily say, this is false, right? You can easily pinpoint that, can't you? The same way now you can easily pinpoint this one. Because how can you say if you are not circumcised according to the custom of Moses? No, you can easily catch it, right? But there are some that you be very subtle, you know, able to say. Look at verse 5. Look at what it says. It says, and some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary. Did you see? See, oh, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Just very subtle. Do you know what this implies? This was exactly the same thing Paul was dealing with in Galatians. He says, just very subtle, just say, bro. It's just like trying to settle two people and trying to find a common ground. For example, let me tell you what this Pharisees guy just did. Abel is arguing with Timmy. And Timmy is saying, if you're not circumcised according to Orioke. I didn't want to say that, sorry. I'm not circumcised. And the kind of knife you will use will be the one from Abel Kuta. You know those knives? The one that they will scratch on top of the mountain. They're not circumcised according to the circumcision of Moses. You are not saved. He's not poor. He's not saying, no. We've passed the law. You know, he's not teaching. He's not saying, no. The law was because of unbelief. He said, like, no, let's go and beat Dixon. At least our pastor. Let him break it. Now, Dixon not having. Not having, not knowing what to say, and he loves these two brethren. I don't want to offend this brother, not this brother. And I say, okay. See, it's not that they are not saved, they are saved. So they have to say, yes, that's it, say, but. No, this guy is already getting angry. Let's see, I say, they're supporting this. But, you know, bro, Abel. Inasmuch as they are saved, it's still necessary that you circumcise them and allow them to still keep the law of Moses. You know, I've created a balance. Very subtle. Very subtle, but yet very dangerous. Are you following? Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Okay. I wouldn't go into much details in this teaching. Hallelujah. I won't go much into detail, just to give you a preamble of what we'll later see. Hallelujah. But very subtle, but yet very delicate. In fact, from looking at that Acts 15, it was not well solved. It was not really dealt with 100%. Because it went down, Peter spoke, and everybody spoke. But you know, the main issue was not really addressed. Hallelujah. That was what led to chapter 20 and 21, what happened to Paul. Hallelujah. This same set of people were the ones that agitated for Paul to be arrested. Become believers. You know, they now created divisions, sect, denominations. Hallelujah. Denominations. We are the gospel of Christ
with Mosaic Law Ministry. Something like that. Hallelujah. With Mosaic Law Ministry. Oh, we are the epistles, it is finished ministry. You know, things like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do not really dealt with. But those details, we'll get that later. Hallelujah. We'll get those details later. But just for you to know. Hallelujah. But verses 5 is something you need to look out for. That's what you'll find sometimes around messages that are boundaryless. People who have decided to be boundaryless in their study of the epistles. Remember, I used to tell us something that, and I keep saying that, say, just to be, you have to be wise. You have to stay with the epistles. When they are quiet, you are quiet. When they are silent, you are silent. I heard that from Pastor Shevra, and I also heard it from, I thought I heard it from Pastor Wisdom, then heard it from Pastor Shevra. Hallelujah. So you have to be wise. Just be wise. Stay with the apostles. When they are quiet, you are quiet. Where they are loud, you are loud. Where they are silent, when they took a low tone, when they were in cigar mood, you to enter cigar mood. Just be wise, you save yourself. Hallelujah. Are you following me? To save your head. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, very important. Very important. So, verse 5 and verse 1 also could actually thrive. Or it happened, verse 1 and verse 5. You know, we can read it into our days today. Hope you know that. Hallelujah. You can read what just happened now into our days today. Our day today, it might not necessarily be someone coming to talk about the law of Moses. No. Hallelujah. It might just be somebody bringing in their culture into the scripture. Because this was their culture then. Hallelujah. Just like reading in your culture into the scripture. Oh, for example, the Valentine in the Bible. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave the G, the A in the V, in the gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, you know, that is the Valentine in the John 3:16. Oh, most especially when the Valentine is on Sunday. Oh, glory to God. It's the Valentine from the Lord's presence. Just reading. It's not hard for you to just read culture into it. Just like reading oral into scripture. Hallelujah. Reading my village New Year festival into Bible. That's what they just did. Just read it. Hallelujah. So people do that a lot. He says, why are you coming to give thanksgiving to the Lord with a waste of yam? I remember one time I wanted to do it. Let us go for thanksgiving. I was going to thanksgiving and my dad has bought yam and chicken and eggs. Chicken, eggs, yam, plenty. And when we go about to do thanksgiving, and I woke up and said, no! How is this the thanksgiving here? He said, carry the yam. You hold the yam, you hold it like this. I see this New Year festival we are doing. He said, you are bringing thanksgiving to the Lord's house. He said, no, your thanksgiving will not be sweet, it will not be acceptable. How is he saying that? I was years back, I was saying, they just gave me a piece of joy. That was like 2002. Hallelujah. I have to carry it with our shoulder pad. Proud but yet humbled. Good. I can't forget that day. I will carry it and we're dancing. He has got Victoria. Glory to God. Yeah. How would you read that? Well, today, a lot of people read. Now, my mother says, you can't be your native culture. Are you following that? Are you seeing how, where we are going to? Now, we've seen that. The Pharisees, the sect of the Pharisees, they read their culture, which is what was happening in the society, into scripture, and asked that we should keep it. Now we say we can also read our modern day's culture into scripture too, and it will still be wrong, no matter how subtle it is, right? Right? Which is our native dialect and things like that. Also, we can also read trends.
which will be the culture of the world, in quotes, trends happening in the world. Sometimes some people, you can bring it into scriptures. That will be boundarylessness, false doctrine. In fact, it might even mean reading your language, the language of the world today, into scriptures. Are you following me? Are you following me? We'll get to see all these things when we discuss the Antichrist. Get to see them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So why are you looking out for, he's quoting Moses. He just discovered that even what was the trend that is happening. Like this. You're not reading into the scripture. Hallelujah. He said, how can you be a believer who cannot fight for your rights?
There's one I said, okay, we can overthrow. There's some things that I don't want to talk about.
Hallelujah. But it's necessary to be born again and also
to, just bring in those. It can be subtle. I know when we get to teaching, there are a lot of things that, as we will read it into our day today. Hallelujah. So don't bother about reading it to yourself. I will teach you, I will bring it for you into our day today. Hallelujah. That is the role of your pastor. Hallelujah. So that you get to see what can be subtle, and to just like this one, it looks very subtle. But just very subtle. And I said, you are born again. Who says that as a believer you need anything to get saved? You are saved in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm saved in Christ. Oh, glory to God. Are you just scriptures? Just look at something else. Moses gave them commandments. He gave them what to do and what not to do. He said, these commandments are from the Lord. So therefore, even though you are saved, there's a work in the saving. You now have to learn to keep, to be circumcised, to keep it very subtle. But that is the poison. Watch out for it. Hallelujah. 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 So look at Romans 16 as we begin to close. Romans 16, 17. Well, I'd love to take it from verse 16. Let's look at that. Romans 16. Are you there? Okay, verse 17 rather. He says, now I urge you, brethren, not those, scripture will say, mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to their doctrine you've learned, and avoid them. To the doctrine, that's the word didache, to the mode of explanation. Mark those who cause offenses and division to the mode of explaining scriptures. Are you seeing that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mode of explaining scriptures. Which scriptures? Genesis to Malachi, the explanation of the epistles, right? Paul says we should avoid them. That is the word, to stay away from such people. Stay away from such explanations. Stay away. Stay away. Mark them and stay away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verses 18. It says, for those who do such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words, did you see that? Smooth words and flattering speech deceive the heart of the simple. Flattering speech, smooth words, good oratory. I was telling a young man, whom I later blocked, and now I've forgiven him. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart. Hallelujah. But I was telling him that, he must learn to differentiate between the gospel taught and good oratory. People miss that a lot. A lot of people, it's very important. People confuse oratory for knowledge. Oratory for knowledge. Someone they say, sir, there's this man of God that teaches like you. Oh, you need to listen to him. He teaches well like you. The things you are saying, he just looks as if, are you going to, both of you know yourself very well.
And I got to listen to, I got listening to the person. Listening, and I'm like, I don't understand. It doesn't match with saying the same thing. We've never said anything, is it? Yeah. I don't think I've ever taught you that a man can change the word of God. Have I? I can't teach you that. At God's word, that for you to be a prophet means you have the capacity to change God's word. My boldness is not going to that speech. Hallelujah. I don't have good oratory. So his oratory is more than my own. And me, I went to base public school. I don't even know Queen's English. There are kings. Can you be telling me? No, now. He has good oratory. But come on. Never miss that. Never miss good oratory. Never miss. And never did I say good oratory is not doctrine. Are you following? So there are those who have good oratory, and the doctrine of Christ is preached well. Are you following me? And those who have bad oratory and have bad doctrine. Amen. So it's not the oratory that determines the doctrine. It's the doctrine that determines the doctrine. Hallelujah. It's the message. It's the message, not the oratory. It's not the kind of shoe he wears. God, that guy, he preaches well. So you know the word of God works in his life. How? You see it in his shoes. I don't think about your pastor that wears 1,500 naira shoes. This was not true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You see it in his wristwatch. The word works. And nowhere. Hallelujah. But let's leave that. Let's focus on the focus. The focus is the use flattery speech. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he says the reason for that, all that, the reason for that, he said they serve their own belly. Which implies their selfish desire. Their selfish desire. They have a selfish desire. Most times, that selfish desire is fame. Fame. They want fame. Fame. Their belly. Selfish desire. So they preach and they twist scriptures. They pervert it. And Paul said they don't worship the Lord. It's not the Lord. It's for their own belly, it's for their own fame, for their own belly, their own selfish desire. Hallelujah. Which is what idol worship. Any worship that is not the worship of the Lord, any service that is not unto the Lord, is idolatry. So we can say the root of false teaching is idol worship. Because false teaching will not serve God. Hallelujah. So if it doesn't serve God, it's not a worship to God. It's idol. Idol. It's idol worship. Idol worship. Hallelujah. To please one's fame, one's ego. To just for fame. Just for temporal satisfaction. Just to please one's ego. Hallelujah. I don't really start going into money now. No. Hallelujah. Because this is very important. Very important we see this. Because from next week, we're going into the teaching proper. And it's very important we see this. Hallelujah. We see this. So we must restrict ourselves to the boundaries of the epistle. Must. And this also goes into the teaching we'll be having tomorrow, because tomorrow we'll be going into the message itself. Hallelujah. So you that you're here, you have to take it into tomorrow's teaching. Hallelujah. The parable of the sower. Glory to God. So I must see the explanation from the scriptures. Restrict myself to the explanation in the four gospels and be at peace.
Glory to God.
So I want you to understand where we are coming from. And I want to just do a little,
a little cinema for seed sowing.
Of the sower and this teaching, where we are today. I want to do a little tsunami for us, that is to bring in something. Now, where I began to teach you from the parable of the sower, I want to let you see that I will have to read from Genesis to Malachi, right? And I said I must find the use of the word from the Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. And from where I'm teaching you, what I'm teaching you on giving and receiving, I said I will now see that explanation where in the four gospels and in the epistles. So you have to now bring everything together. That means scriptures are self-explanatory. Together, I will see the same one. That is, the explanation in the epistles is actually the explanation in Genesis to Malachi. Are you following me? That's what I'm teaching you. That the explanation in the epistles are the explanation in Genesis to Malachi. Because where will Jesus explain Genesis to Malachi from in the four gospels? Genesis to Malachi. Are you following me? Where did he correct their wrong interpretation of scripture? Genesis to Malachi. When Paul is explaining and dealing with, and that we'll see as we get into underlying the gospel, you now see Paul's dire menu, Peter's dire menu. That is to say, how they now explain the languages. What they just did was, listen, we will not touch identification signifiers. No, we are not going there. But what they just did was, looking at the issue in the present day, that's why I say context. I told us last week that context will mean, first of all, you have to look at that audience. Right? Did I tell us that last week? You have to know the audience. What was the background of that audience? That will form the context, right? Of that book. You don't generalize words. How the words are used in that book. Now that will be the context of that word. No word has a general meaning. You have to be read in context. Are you following me? Now the context of that book. Now, how was it now solved? Look at the audience, that will form the context. Now, what would now be the background? What was now used to address or to teach them would now be the Old Testament, which is Genesis to Malachi. I'm talking about from their pieces, right? So what will Paul do? If there's an ongoing issue that he's solving, he will now bring in, he will go to the Old Testament book, look at the same issue. Do they have the same similar issue in the Old Testament book? If they are, that is what he will use to deal. So what will he do? You will see more or less like a, let me use the word dameneo, a interpretation of the language. Because now there are two words now far apart by thousands of years, right? The epistles, which is Greek, and let's say the wilderness, for example, Hebrew. Now, two words apart, two different dispensations, two different languages. Are you hearing me? So, and this is the explanation to what was said then. So, what will Paul do? Paul will be translating that language. Hallelujah. So that it will answer, if there is a problem here, to answer it, or to teach them the doctrine of Christ from two different words, the same message, different culture, different language, but the same message. Are you following me? The same message. Maybe also different issues, but the same message. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. So that's what we'll be looking at from next week. From tomorrow into next week, we are going into the teaching proper. This is the time where you don't miss these teachings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The foundation has been set, so it will just be a smooth sail into the next couple of weeks as we get prepared for CRC. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So our explanation of the scripture must be in line with that of the epistles, right? And the epistles, we say, are still the Old Testament explained. Hallelujah. So those explanations we have in the epistles, can we find it in the Old Testament? Emphatically, yes. The same way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember we said this, the Old Testament books were never hidden. No. Did we say that? It was never hidden. It is just the heart of man that hides what? The truth of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because even in those dispensations, we had men who believed. So that means it was not hidden. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet and thank God.